Welcome to Moments with Marianne. I'm so delighted we're spending this time here today. We have a very inspiring show coming right up with special guest Mark Bowser, and he's here to share with us the book he co-authored with Danny Lane, Some Gave It All, Through the Fire of the Vietnam War. Now, Mark is a proven leader with experience that makes a difference. As a motivational business speaker, Mark is a corporate trainer expert in all areas of leadership, customer service, sales, and personal development. Some of the top world's organizations lean on Mark to take them to the next level of excellence. So let's welcome to the show, Mark Bowser.
Thank you, Marianne. It's good to be able to be with you.
What a joy it is to have you here and to talk about this book. I mean, I'm so glad that we have the opportunity to share this. I think a lot of people don't really understand what our veterans and our troops went through when they were in Vietnam. And there's a lot here that I didn't even know. And my father was in Vietnam.
Well, you're absolutely right. I have a history degree and a bachelor's of arts in history degree. And there are things that Danny Lane taught me as we were going through this book that I never knew or never taught in my history classes. For example, he started talking about rock apes. And I stopped him right there. I'm going, what are you talking about? I have never heard of a rock ape. And he goes into great detail and he goes, oh, these things were awful. He says they walked on two legs. They were about four and a half, 5 feet tall. So in the dusk of night, you couldn't tell, was that a man? What was that? And the Vietnamese army, North Vietnamese army and the Viet Cong were so cunning that they would train these apes to throw rocks. That's how they got their name, rocks. And then sometimes grenades at our troops. And our troops hated these things. And now they not only had to battle the enemy, they had to battle these animals that were coming through our lines as well. And so it was things like that that I learned from Danny on this experience.
That was just amazing. So before we go too far ahead, I'd love for you to share a little bit. So this book is actually written with you and Danny Lane, and it's Danny Lane's account of Vietnam. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. And who Danny Lane is, because a lot of people may not be familiar with him if you're not in the martial arts arena. Danny Lane is a martial arts instructor. He's my instructor. And as we got to know each other a little bit better, I realized he had a story in there. And so I kind of gently kind of tugged and pulled at him a little bit, and probably more of his wife's urging than mine, he decided to tell a story that he had been trying to forget for 40 years. He's dealt with a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder for the last few decades. And it has actually helped him with that by telling the story. So Danny Lane is a combat Marine, dedicated, highly decorated as well, 2 Purple Hearts during that war. And after the war, he came home and became a decorated police officer and detective and bodyguard and so forth. And he started getting involved in the martial arts. And he's one of Chuck Norris's top black belts. Danny is a 9th degree black belt, which is very rare. He's a grand master. He is a 9-time national martial arts champion and a former world kickboxing champion. So this guy is the real deal. And he was able to share his story of what he went through in Vietnam. And one thing that he has on his heart is, like you mentioned, Marianne, that we don't understand what our veterans have gone through or went through. And he brought to my attention that we lose an average of 22 veterans a day to suicide. And he admitted to me that he's looked down his own gun barrel many, many times over the decades because of what they went through and what they saw and what they had to do was so traumatic that Danny explains it. He says the brain's actually even different. And he's trying to explain this to families of veterans and to the veterans themselves to begin to understand that once you went to war and once you saw and had to do what you had to do, your brain chemistry has literally changed. And so the person that now is at home is not the same person he was or she was before they left. And it's a tragedy that we are losing our veterans like that. And so part of our mission is to actually bring that awareness and let's help our veterans and give them not only the thanks they deserve, but give them the helping hand they need after they come back home.
Well, isn't that the truth? We owe them so much. And as we go through part of this story, I mean, there's a lot of it that's heartbreaking. Some of it I've heard of, and a lot I had not. I mean, how old was Danny when he went to Vietnam?
He was 19. So literally, we sent these boys over there. He went over in 1968 and 69, so the heart of the combat over there. And he was a kid. He had gone to boot camp, and pretty much from boot camp, they sent him to Nam. And within a day, he's out there in Operation Mead River, which was the largest helicopter battles of the war itself. And 19-year-old boy, 24 hours earlier, he's in the States, and now he's being dropped off in a combat zone.
That's just unreal.
They would spend 3 months at a time out in the bush, out in the jungle, without coming back at all. 3 months out there. And just living out there and surviving out there. And one thing he's had, obviously, the bad dreams forever. He says, I don't have the dreams of Nam anymore, but I still have violent dreams every night. And he says, well, somebody's doing something and I have to do something to them. And a lot of that happened is because he told me more than once as we were working on the book, he said, everything bad happened at night. That's when the enemies attacked. We hated the night because everything bad happened then. It was just devastating for him.
That's just heartbreaking. So what was, once Danny got there and he's, they're out for 3 months. I mean, what was daily life like for them?
Well, let me give you an example from that very first day. The very first day, like I said, 24 hours earlier, he'd been in the States. They flew him over there. Now he's in Nam. He and a bunch of other boots. And a boot is somebody who has not seen combat. And nobody wants to be near a boot because the boots are untested. You don't know what a boot will do when they're out there. They may panic and get everybody killed. And so the veterans, they didn't like being around boots. So Danny's a boot. His best friend, Soter, who went through boot camp with him, he's also a boot. He's right there next to him. They're all lined up. The helicopters are lined up, ready to go. Because I mentioned Operation Mead River was the largest helicopter battles of the war. And it's cold. It's wet. The monsoon season has hit. They have a 100-pound backpack on their back. And all of a sudden, they tell them, get on board. So they all get on board the helicopter. The helicopters take off and are heading towards the front lines. As they're on their way, one of the veteran troops looks at Danny and looks at Soter and he goes, your boots better sit on your helmets. And they're going, what do you mean? Why do we need to sit on our helmets? He goes, because this flimsy thing we call a helicopter, the bullets will come right up through this floor and go right up in your rear. And so as you imagine, they immediately jerked their helmets off and sat on them. And so that was their first inkling of what they were about ready to head towards. Then all of a sudden the helicopter up in front of them got hit and it's going down. And so that changes the dynamics of all the region of helicopters there. And so finally they drop the door and they tell them, get out, jump now. And so it's dark. They don't know how high they're up. They have a 100-pound pack on their back and they're told to get out of the helicopter because they're taking all kinds of fire. And so Danny finally figured it's got to be safer on the ground than it is right up here. So he jumped, didn't know how high he was up, has a 100-pound pack, and he jumps. Lands, obviously, extremely hard. Well, you can imagine now what the problem was, because as a moving helicopter is going through the air and people are jumping out, those people, that platoon is going to be spread all over the countryside. And so the chances of you being with a buddy or chances of you being with anybody close by is slim to none. But a miracle upon miracles, Soter jumped out right with him. And so they both landed just a few feet from each other. As soon as they landed, they started taking fire. And so they scuttle off into the brush and just lay there. And so they're separated from their squad. They're two boots. They just got in Vietnam and they're taking heavy fire right now. And so what would you do? And that's the question I think comes to everybody's mind. What would you do? And this is for those of you who know me more from my training side in the business area, this is one of the things we take out of that particular story is you go back on your training. And Danny was reminded at that moment, as he reflected on this story, is, he said, Gunny Plumber in boot camp, he said, you never know what part of your training will save your life. He said, you never know. So all of it is important. Well, at that moment, Danny knew exactly what was saving his life. In boot camp, they would go eat chow in the mess hall. And then after they'd eat chow, they would have to go stand out in the hot sun and allow these bugs that were in that particular area to just chew on them. And the bugs would crawl up their noses and in their ears and in their eyes and in other places. And if they moved or if they swatted these bugs at all, they had to build and dig a 6-foot grave for that bug. And so they were taught to stand perfectly still. But Danny understood right then, right there, as he's laying in the jungle taking fire, what's going to save his life that night. And so he and Soter were perfectly still as the Viet Cong were looking for them because they knew they were there, and they're just meters from their head, but never saw them because they laid perfectly still within that time. And so what training do we have that we can lean on that's going to get us through whatever crisis that we may be heading into?
It's just unreal, you know, what they went through. And you look at this, and then there's also, you look at the elements. I mean, from the book, it talks about many men actually suffered from heat exhaustion.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was very hot. The Vietnam, the weather was more contrasting than what we think. If you see the movies, you think about just the heat and this type of stuff. You see some of the rain, but you didn't realize that the extreme temperatures that you might get. One of those obviously being extreme heat. And so if you have a pack on your back, if you're going to be out there in the bush for many, many days, you have at least enough of the survival stuff, particularly more ammunition and so forth. So there's a lot of weight that they were carrying. And they would have to hike depending on what the mission was, they would have to hike a lot during the day. Well, but then they weren't getting the rest at night because, again, everything bad happened at night. So if you're hiking all throughout the day to get to the next location, and at the same time, you're having to be vigilant because there's not only the booby traps that were out there all over the place, you could be ambushed at any moment. So you're on high alert all day long. You're on high alert all night, so you're not getting sleep. And it just begins to take it out on you. And then Danny himself, he got malaria once or twice, and that just sucks the life out of you. And he lost a lot of weight because of that, and the heat exhaustion that went with it. So it was a terrible place.
Yeah, I know in the book it talked about how he was also a little bit malnourished. I mean, because they were out for such a long period of time, you know, fighting.
Exactly right. And so when you think about the food that they had to, it had to be something that they could carry in. Had to be something that could be preserved for a very long time. It had to be something that did not need any refrigeration. So probably what comes to all of your listeners' mind is Spam. Well, how would you like to live on Spam and that be your main diet, or something that may be worse than Spam for weeks? And it was just a very hard experience for any of our war veterans, but particularly our Vietnam veterans, of what they went through. And then that enemy was so cunning that enemy would pop out of nowhere, ambushes, and then disappear. And what we discovered was the tunnels. And most of your listeners probably have heard of the tunnels. We've seen them in movies here now. And you think about, okay, there's a big room underground. The Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese Army, these guys have been fighting wars for decades. So we have our 19-year-olds up against people who have been fighting for decades in a guerrilla warfare type situation. They not only had rooms underground, they had bunkers, they had hospitals underground, they had some ways that were so large underground that they could actually take supplies and trucks from the north to the south into South Vietnam all underground. And so that's what we were going through. And these little caverns or little openings to these caverns could be anywhere. And so they again would pop up, shoot our troops, and then disappear. And it was like that the entire time that Danny was over there. It was just a heart-wrenching experience that they had to go through. There was even the time where you probably heard about the dikes, or you've seen in the movies where it's kind of a marshy type area. And so you would see these dikes kind of surrounding the marshy areas. And so we would walk on these dikes to get from one place to the other. Well, there was one time where Danny, he slipped off one of the dikes and he fell into this water. Well, as 19-year-old boys will be to other 19-year-old boys in any situation, let alone a stressful situation, they thought that was hilarious. So instead of helping Danny, they're just laughing at him in there. Well, imagine that you fall into a bunch of water with a 100-pound pack on your back. It's a bit hard to get out of the water. And so he is pretty much about to drown, and then finally somebody does help him out to get him out of there. But that is what they went through, not only with the enemy, but with just day-to-day life accidents that happened. And it's a miracle that he even survived. I mean, he got wounded more than twice. He got two Purple Hearts, but you don't get a Purple Heart every time you get wounded. One, people have to witness it. Two, it has to be an officer. Three, it has to be recorded and sent in. And so they were wounded many more times. So if you got two Purple Hearts, that means you survived multiple woundings. And nobody wanted to get that third Purple Heart. You got to come home if you got three Purple Hearts, but not very many people survived the last one. And it was an awful experience. And why he started in the martial arts after the war. So if we fast forward through his experience of Vietnam, and he said the reason he started in the martial arts, he came across the Korean master in the martial arts in Tong Soo Do, and he said, I just started working out. And he said, the reason I started working out was because the demons came out at night, so he couldn't sleep. So he just would go into the gym and he'd sweat it out, sweat it out, sweat it out. And he became really, really good at the martial arts. But his motivation was just so the demons wouldn't continue to visit him. The bad memories, the flashbacks and so forth.
Wow. You know, you talked about the tunnels. I mean, most people, when they think about the tunnels, you know, in Vietnam, they think it's just a small little cave or just a little place. I had no idea it was such an elaborate tunnel system.
I didn't either. And again, that's something that we're not taught very often in our history classes. And I have an upper degree in history, let alone what our high school students are learning in history. But I think it's important that they need to know and understand what people and veterans like Danny Lane went through. And so it's a huge thank you to him that he was willing to go through this process, because this was not an easy book for him to come through. I was asking him to go back and relive memories that he had tried to forget. And so literally he was having to relive this. And what he would do was he would do a lot of tears and a lot of stress and a lot of heartache. And I was as gentle as I could be, but he would actually write it down. He would write his memories down and then he would send that to me. So instead of having to talk it out to me, he would just sit at the computer and just write it all out. And then he would send those thoughts to me. And then I would turn that into the book that is now Some Gave It All. And it was a heart-wrenching experience on all of it. As we're probably halfway through the process of the writing process, he revealed something else to me that, and I think it was just time of getting to trust me, and then just time of what he was willing to remember and to share, that he shared an experience he had. The book opens up with him in the hospital or heading towards the hospital in 2006. In 2006, he became delirious, was finally got rushed to the hospital. He didn't know who he was. They didn't have a clue what was wrong with him. They didn't even know who he was for a while. And then finally, his son was able to track him down because he was living with his son at the time. And his son had been looking for him and finally came across which hospital he was in. And they found out who Danny was and so forth. Well, what was happening, his brain was swelling from a virus, which he probably got back in Nam. In 2006 is when it started to incubate, if you will. And so all these flashbacks began to happen at that time of his experiences during the war itself. And so you have these two sides, two pictures of Danny Lane within the book. The one that's fairly present, 2006, where he has a rare brain ailment, which they can't even figure out what to do. And then you have these flashbacks of him going back to Nam at age 19. And so it kind of completes a huge complete picture of what Danny Lane and our veterans have gone through, that it's not just that year and a half or 2 years that they're on tour over in the war zone. It stays with them forever. And then sometimes it hits with a vengeance, like with Danny Lane, to where a virus that you contracted way back when begins to take root and begin to impact your life dramatically 30, 40 years after the experience. And that's what happened to Danny. Now, Danny's fine today. I mean, he's had some health issues caused from the war, but he's whatever that brain ailment was, it went away. They pretty much released him out on his own because after a while, the VA had no clue what to do with it. The doctors had no clue how to solve this. And so, like he's done on many injuries and so forth, he recuperated himself, he trained himself, and he got himself back strong, and even back to where he was obviously teaching martial arts and so forth, and even to this day as an instructor. So it's a heart-wrenching story, and it's something that I learned tremendously, and obviously I got to know Danny very, very well throughout this process.
Yeah, reading that part, it was a little discouraging to read about how some of the medical staff treated him and some of the things that they said. And I was just real disheartened by that. Because you think over time, I mean, when our veterans came back or troops came back from Vietnam, I mean, they were treated pretty horribly.
They were. And it was a war that was not a popular war. And it was one that people didn't want to even think about. And so anybody who was associated with the war had a negative connotation. And so even as he flew back, and here's the sad thing, he didn't get a fly all the way home is because a lot of it had to be PR. They fly him to Nam to start his tour over there. But coming home after all the weight loss he's had, the malaria, the woundings and all this stuff, he had to be on an aircraft carrier for a month to get home. And to top it off, because it was part of President Nixon's big bringing home some of the troops and so forth. So it was a lot of that was a little bit popular, but it was also very, very much for the press. They had to climb up the ropes of the side of the aircraft carrier to get on board instead of just letting them walk on. No, it'll look good for the press. Let's have you guys who are already worn out, you guys who have just served your country, let's have you climb up the side of the aircraft carrier with a rope. And Danny barely made it up there. And so he finally, after all that, he gets home and now he's ready to fly from the rest of the way to get back home to West Virginia. And something that stood out in his mind was the looks that he got from a little boy and a little boy's mom. The little boy was innocent on this and was kind of looking almost in awe at Danny. The mom kind of pulled, oh, no, that's one of them. That's a baby car. That's what, and she probably said a few things to her son about that. And that's how he got treated when he came home. And that should never, ever happen. And something just to share with you, Marianne, too, that's even more recent is most of your listeners have probably heard some of the challenges that the Veterans Administration has had of recent decades. And the caliber of care and so forth. And I know the president is working hard to get that to better care for our troops. But let me just share something that happened not too long ago. The book came out May 1st, which is Veterans Month, May 1st of 2018, so last year. Shortly after that, Danny had a heart attack. And how that came about was this. He had started having some chest pain, so he went to the VA. And the VA checked them all out, and they said, no, that's just the GI tract issue that you've been having issues since the war. So that's all that is. Don't worry about it. It's not your heart. Go on home. About 10 days later, he has a massive heart attack. They barely get him to the hospital in time. They didn't have the person who could take care of him at that point, so now they need him to transfer him to another hospital. They live down in Kentucky now, so his wife was wanting him to be sent up to Lexington, and they're going, we don't have time. So they sent him to another hospital, got him there, went through major bypass surgery. I saw Danny in the hospital afterwards, and he's going, you know, they had two nurses on me at one time. And And the nurse that was in there, she goes, "Well, Mr. Lane, that's because they were in a hurry. They were prepping him quickly to get him into surgery." And here's my thing that's frustrating. Danny then shortly had two strokes right after that. And there's a lot of blessings that are coming through this, that things were found that because of some really good doctors at some really good hospitals. But if the VA had not misdiagnosed him, who knows, he may have not had that heart attack, which created some damage. And my thing is, these are our troops. These are our heroes. They need the absolute best care. And in my opinion, it should be paid for completely. Danny and his wife have had to fight with the VA in terms of payment and all this type of stuff. And that should never happen. That should never happen. And I know the president is working hard to get that changed, but we're talking about decades of decay with the VA. And it doesn't matter what war they were in. These guys and these gals are heroes. And whatever medical situation they're in, whatever medical care they need, I think we as a country owe that to them to just take care of that and make sure it's not only paid for so they don't have that stress, but at the same time, it's the best care in the country.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. I think too often they come back and, you know, as a nation, we really fail our veterans and our troops. And we need to make sure that they have the resources that they need to not only be able to come back and feel comfortable, but they're not burdened with undue debt, you know?
I agree. I mean, it's finally the VA has stepped up in terms of for the Lanes to help them with some of this. But there's even a case out there now for them because of the malpractice that they had, which caused the major heart attack that he had to suffer through. Fortunately, he survived it and still with us and still able to share his wisdom out there. And he's like an uncle to my kids. And so my kids are getting the benefit of knowing Danny and his wife and, to see if he has stress. My son is now one of his students. So that's the silver lining to every story. And so my son gets to be taught by one of the best martial artists in history. Danny's in part of a number of so many Hall of Fame that you can't even count them all. And so that's a blessing that he's able to now share his wisdom to not only to me, which is quite a bit younger than him, but now to my kids who are that next generation.
So what do you want readers to take away from Some Gave It All?
I want them to take away one of knowing what our troops went through, that these people are heroes, no matter what their job was over there, whether they were behind a desk or whether they were on the front lines, that they were heroes because they served our country, not only in a war zone, but they served our country, period. So even if it's a veteran that's not in a war zone or somebody who served during peace times, those are our heroes, because when they sign that dotted line saying, "I'm enlisting, I will serve," they don't know whether a war will start the next day. And so all of them are heroes. So I want people to take that away and then take away the awareness of that the pain that they went through during the war, whatever war it may be, continues on. My uncle was a pilot in World War II. He hardly ever talked about it. I only got him to open up, but he'd tell us the funny stories, but I got him to open up one time because of a college project I was doing in one of my history classes. Danny was the same way. We not only need to get our veterans to tell their stories, we need to know that the reason why they don't want to tell those stories is the same reason why we lose 22 veterans a day to suicide, is because they are hurting, and what they had to do to keep us free, they don't even want to think about, let alone keep being plagued by those memories. And that's the two things I want people to take away from this book, is to realize what our veterans did.
You know, it's interesting. My father would never talk about his stories either. And I think there's, you know, some importance, I agree with you, in getting that out and allowing them to get through this process where I don't know if it's healing or, you know, they just get to a place where they're able to walk through that.
And I think it does have some healing. Writing this book with me has been a healing process for Danny. Now, as Danny has mentioned, the demons haven't all gone away. He still has really bad dreams, but they're not dreams of Nam anymore. So that's improvement. And it's helped him come full circle with some things. There were some things that in the book that he had even blocked until he got with some of his buddies who served over there with him, who were still living. He had forgotten part of the experience they had. There was a helicopter crash that they were in, and Danny didn't remember anything about it. They're going, "You don't remember that?" And as soon as they started bringing it back, then obviously the memories came back. But for some reason, he had blocked that for a while, and it was a terrible situation. The helicopter goes down, they have wounded, they have, I think one guy had even died during that experience, and you don't leave anybody behind, including the dead. You take them with you. And so now they're being tracked down for 2 days by the enemy, and they're trying to escape so they can be rescued to get out of that situation. So Danny had blocked that out of his memory. And so that's, I think, something else our veterans deal with. There are some things that are so horrible to them, or they had dealt with so much up to that point that their brain's going, "I can't handle anymore." And so they literally forget some of those things. And so it's important of a healing process for them, but it's also important for us to make sure that we know these stories so that we, as George Santayana said, if we don't know our history, we're condemned to repeat it, so that we can go back and make sure we learn the lessons that were, that they lived through, that we need to be taught, so that we move forward in other conflicts and hopefully get through them without having conflicts, so that we don't make the same mistakes more than once.
Well, Mark, where can our listeners pick up a copy of Some Gave It All and be part of your community and Danny's community?
Well, you can get Some Gave It All anywhere books are sold. Probably the easiest is Amazon.com because they're everywhere. You just plug on and get there. You can reach out to me at markbowser.com, markbowser.com. You can reach out to Danny at dannylane.com. And so that's how you can reach out. That's also a percentage of the proceeds of each book goes to the Kickstart program, which is Chuck Norris's program. Chuck has endorsed the book. Chuck's been part of the marketing process. And so a piece of each of the books that people buy will go to support Chuck's Kickstart program, which is the program that's in the schools to teach them martial arts, to help them to have more accountability and a little bit more success-oriented training.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show with us here today.
Well, thank you very much, Marianne. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's been such an honor to spend this time with you and, of course, to talk about the book you and Danny Lane wrote, Some Gave It All, Through the Fire of the Vietnam War. Again, if you'd like to connect with Mark, you can at markbowser.com. If you'd like to connect with Danny Lane, you can at dannylane.com. Well, we're at the end of our time today. I would like to thank everyone for tuning in. You're listening to Moments with Marianne. And remember, make every moment count.
In a single moment, your life can change. Moments with Marianne is a transformative hour that covers an endless array of topics with the best of the best. Her guests are leaders in their fields, ranging from inspirational authors, top industry leaders, and business and spiritual entrepreneurs. Each guest is gifted and a true visionary, a recognized leader in her own work, and while teaching others to develop, refocus, and grow, Marianne will bring the best guest and sometimes a special surprise. Don't miss this. You never know just which moment will change your life forever. Moments with Marianne airs every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Make sure to tune in and visit momentswithmarianne.com for more information.